This is the third servant song in the book of Isaiah. The last two servant songs that we went through were servant songs that talked about justice, that the Messiah, the one who's going to come to save his people, he was going to bring justice. Last week, we actually got to see that the Messiah that was coming, he was going to bring redemption, which means freedom. He's going to bring freedom from our sin, and he's going to bring salvation. And this week, we get to see a different side. We get to see how this is going to work. The Messiah, the servant in the book of Isaiah that's long foretold, this prophecy is saying, look, he's going to bring justice. He's going to make everything right. He's going to free you. He is going to break chains of sin on you. He's going to save you. How is he going to do that? This song talks about that he's going to do it in an interesting way. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be persecuted. You would think that the one that's going to be bring justice, bring freedom, bring salvation, man, that he would be coming with his armies. And he's going to be putting, like, you know, all things right in a very powerful way. But here, we see that he's going to be mocked. Man, I want to get a little, you know, personal for you at the beginning. Is, have you ever been mocked? Have you ever been humiliated? It's not fun. For a lot of us, we can go back to, a lot of us, it's like middle school. You know, it's that years where your identity is being shaped. And for most of us, middle school was not fun. You know, your bodies are weird. For guys, you smell really bad. You know, for girls, you're just like, you know, everything's going on with you guys. And we're like, we're all like hormonal weird things. And it's strange. And your identities are like, who am I? Like, I was this kind of like a little bit like I am now, tall, lanky. I was like completely skin and bones. And I do remember the first time I got like incredibly mocked. You might be called bullied. It kind of shapes you. I don't know if you're like me. Man, when mockery comes at us, it is not fun. A lot of us that can pretend to be kind of hard people, it's awful. You know, when people come against you, and a lot of us, honestly, you know, what happens early kind of in our lives, what's kind of said or done to us can really shape us. You can go back to childhood, middle school, high school. There's these events that it's traumatic. Now, think about, you know, maybe a season where you've been mocked, persecuted, something like that. Think of like the person you love the most. And have you ever seen them mocked or bullied? It really grips at your heart. It's awful. Today, what I want to do is not just leave us in like feeling about like our middle school mockeries or bullies. You know, I don't want to leave us there. I actually want to bring us to how Jesus was treated. And I would love for you to like care about it. I can't make you care about it. But I want to talk about the Savior that came, that lived this perfect life, that was bringing justice. He was going to make every wrong thing untrue. This Savior that was coming, and he's going to break every chain on us, that sin that enslaves us. He's going to free us. He's redeeming us. The one that's going to save us. How did he do it? The path led through mockery and persecution. And I want us to see him and how he was treated. And I hope you just kind of care. And you see that he was doing it to have you. to redeem you, to save you, to bring justice to this world. This is a powerful passage. It sets us in a Messiah that's like totally different than all other powers. You know, false powers in this planet. Herod was the king at the time of Jesus' birth. When he heard there was a king born in Bethlehem, he freaked out. You know, all power that men have, it's an illusion. Jesus, who has all, he is real power, he is God. When he comes, his power, the Bible tells us he made himself nothing. True power can do that. False power can't. False power has to grab on to its illusions. It has to hold on. And Jesus, on his cross, he shows us the way all of life works. Illusions will not be with you at your last moment of life. Jesus could not hold on to illusion. He could not hold on to this false thing. He had to give himself to his Father. He had to hold on to his dad. He had to hold on to real power. And we do too. I want us to see this Jesus that's altogether different. He works in just an incredibly different way than the rest of this world works. And I want to just visit him. Go to really his trial today. And the cross. So let's read. I want to read the first two verses of our passage today. Read them again. Isaiah 50, if you have your Bibles, again, is this servant song. And in verse 5 and 6, God tells us, "The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike. And my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." Man, the first picture we get of this servant is that the Lord has opened this Messiah, this servant's ear. You know, Jesus communed with God. That's what it means. He listened to God. He had this, he could literally hear him, and everything that his Father told him, he did. I love that. I love that first line. "The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious." I love that. All of us, you know what? We've heard from God, and all of us in this room, we've rebelled against his voice. We've rebelled. This Jesus Christ, he heard God. He would commune with him and everything that God told him. He walked in that way. He came. He lived this perfect life among us. In the Gospels, I love the stories. He would just go into the most broken places. These places where people were dealing with their mental health, their physical health, and healing would just follow him. The lame would stand up. The blind would see. The deaf would hear. The mute, he would allow it, like bring speech to them. Then he would go to the rich. He would go everywhere, and life was just flowing from him. And how did we repay him? This servant that came, that did everything perfectly, that lived this perfect life among us, what do we do to him? It says, "I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard." We spat at him. We pulled his beard out. We hit him. This one that was coming to save and redeem us, this is how we treat him. This is how humanity treated God. All four Gospels on the crucifixion scene comes into their story, include the mockery of Jesus Christ. all four gospels, in all the books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a lot of the gospels, they vary in different places, in different ways. They highlight different things. You know what none of them leaves out in their story of the crucifixion? This. The mockery of God. So I want us to just go there. Matthew 26, 63 through 68. Jesus is on trial. All these false testimonies are coming against him. And this is what Matthew says. But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you, by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? They answered, he deserves death. Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? Mark 15, 16 through 20 leads us to the soldiers. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. Everyone in the battalion comes, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of his purple cloak and put on his own clothes, and they led him out to crucify him. Luke 22, 63 through 65. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking, prophesy, who is it that struck you? And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. John 19, 1 through 3. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and struck him with their hands. I don't know about you, but those are powerful scenes. The God who he knew who was hitting him, that God made their hands. Jesus' word and breath and just being was allowing those sticks, those reeds, to be stay in those guys' hands as they beat him. They weren't killing God. He was laying down his life for us. Isaiah would put it as he gave them his back. They just beat it. And he gave them his beard, and they just ripped it out. I mean, what offense. As I just kind of lived in this scene, as I was praying and considering what Jesus would have me say to you, it just struck me as he was laying down his life for those who mocked him. The ones who mocked him are the ones who he was giving his life for. I've said this before, but it is amazing that after Jesus dies on his cross, he raises from the dead. It's amazing that the town that killed him, Jerusalem, was the city that he said, or that would that where he was put to death. I love that his first place of mission is go to Jerusalem and tell them the good news. He wanted these that mocked him to know his great love for them. In John, it's amazing. John's crucifixion scene, he ends too by just telling us, he ends with his mother. He ends with Jesus's mother. He ends the story with women. And I think it's important to consider this. John 19:25 says, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." You know, I want us to, in some ways, put us there. How would you feel if your son was just getting mocked and spit on? This purple robe, that's a sign of royalty. Purple's a sign of royalty. They're mocking him. They're putting a crown on his head, but it's a crown of thorns. Just digging. What if that was your son? The pain of seeing Jesus Christ suffer and be mocked, this was his path to redeem and save us. And I hope you care. He was mocked for you. He was mocked for his mother. He was on that Christ cross to save her, to save you, to save us. The way that the Messiah, the suffering servant, was going to save was this altogether different way, and he was going to be mocked. He was going to be persecuted. He was going to be hit, spit upon, blindfolded. That's amazing. That is different than the way most of us would go about saving others. But to deal with our sin, he had to lay down his life for those he loved. My question is, if he was here right now, and for those of you who do not know Jesus, this is for you, how would you respond to that, Jesus, the one who just got mocked for you, that just laid his life down for you? What would you say to him? What would you want to hear from him? I want you to go to that Jesus Christ, the one who was mocked and persecuted for you. He has loved you with a love that's unimaginable. It's what does this passage, what did all of this mean about us? Here's what I want you to hear. It means we're loved. You are loved with a love that's unimaginable. This grace that is poured out upon you is just hard to fathom. It is the goal of our life. I really feel like in my life, I know about like maybe a book's amount of God's love towards me, and the universe is about the whole size of his love towards me. I mean, it's just the goal of the Christian life is just to learn about the grace and the immensity of his love towards us. He has loved us. In Isaiah 50, the passage goes on to say in verse 7, this is amazing. He's just been beaten, disgraced. And verse 7 says, "But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. I mean, that is amazing. He has just been disgraced, and he says, beyond everything, God was with me. God helps me. Because God has helped me on the cross, Jesus felt forsaken, but we know God was with him. I mean, the very last act that he does is he says, into thy hands I commit thy spirit. He laid himself down in his Father's arms. Because God was with him, he was not disgraced. And this is a thing that I think we need to consider. The most important reality in our lives is God's presence with us. It is Emmanuel. The most important thing for us is God with us. When God is with us, we will still have highs and we'll still have lows. But it really does change disgrace into grace. The passage, it's like he was just disgraced, and he says, therefore, I have not been disgraced. God's presence changes reality. Anyone can hurt us. Anyone can come at us. Anyone can say and mock and persecute. And yes, we'll have highs and lows with that. But God is with us, just like he was with Jesus. And then, in this passage in Isaiah, the voice of the servant comes in. In verse 10, it says this, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. I love this call to who fears God? Who has heard the voice of the servant? That's Jesus. Who has heard the voice of Jesus? Do you hear his voice today? Jesus says, I know my sheep. My sheep know me. They know my voice. What is he speaking to you today? I love this. Who obeys his voice? I wrote down some thoughts of who that's to today. And what should we obey? What part of his voice should we obey? To those of you who get your worth from what you do, Jesus' voice says, come unto me, all you who are weary. To those who are seeking your identity in what you have or can gain, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden. To those who are seeking approval in others, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are enslaved. To those who are seeking after loves that will not satisfy, he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. To those of you who have doubts about who Jesus is, who he is, and if he even exists, he would say, like Thomas, come unto me. Come see the nail marks. Come see my side. See my love towards you. I have been spit on. I have been blindfolded. I have been punched. I have been stripped of all my clothes. I have been beaten beyond recognition. I have been placed on a cross. I have taken the wrath of God for your sin. I have died. And I have risen for you. I did all this for you. You are mine. I love you. My sheep hear my voice. They know it. Come unto me. All of life, all of the Christian's life is found within this command to come unto Jesus. He has told us to bring our burdens and our cares to him. His yoke is easy, he tells us. Every one of us is heavy laden. Our lives are burdened. And Jesus commands, he does not suggest, he commands you today, come to him. You will find rest for your souls. You will find what your souls truly need, which is himself. He commands that you come to him. Who among you fears the Lord? Who among you listens to the voice of my servant? Listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts. Come to him today. And this is not just for those of you who do not know Jesus. This is for those of you especially that know Jesus. A lot of you know that that come unto me is responded in our lives. Sometimes we're like, I feel like he's not necessarily here. Well, Advent is a season where we're supposed to even cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come. Let's say it to him as well. Come to me, Jesus. It can work both ways. If you need him this morning, ask him to come. This is what this season of Advent is all about, is a season where we know and wait that he will come for us. All of life is found in him. All of our forgiveness, all of our grace, all of our identity is met in his words and in his voice. He has engraved us on the palm of his hand. That he might not ever forget us. He is the God that is always with us. He was the God that was mocked and persecuted, that he might be with you. Listen to his voice. Do you hear it? Listen to it. Obey his command towards you. Come unto him. And the passage ends with, you got two choices. There's two choices. Look at how Isaiah ends. Verse 11, behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. You can make your own way in the world. If you want to light your own flame and go out there in the world and go on your path, go your way. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he offers you himself. You can have it your way. You can either light your own light and walk your own life. You can be part of the world that judges you based on what you have, what you do, what you gain, your fame. You can have that path, or you can have him, the light of the world. You have a choice to make. That's what this passage ends with, is a choice. Are you going to go by your own light? Have you been walking just according to your own plan, your own way, your own devices? Or are you going to believe that Jesus has loved you? That he was actually your first love. He loved you before anyone else. Anyone else. And he laid down his life for you. Which way do you want to go? You want to follow the light of the world? Or do you want to light your own torch and go your own way? Follow the light. Let his light shine upon your dark soul. Let his face just beam kindness into your life and comfort and security and grace upon grace. He has come that he might walk with you and be with you. Let's go to him. Let me pray. Jesus, we're just so foolish in our lives. We oftentimes would gladly exchange you, the light of the world, for our own torches, for our own lamps. God, would you show us the utter folly of that? God, would you help us hear your voice today? Would you help us listen to it? Would you help us obey your voice? Come unto me. All you who are weary. All you who are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy. Jesus, help us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.